Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I've spent a little bit of time with Justin, more of a casual encounter than anything. Seems like a very knowledgeable person when it comes to the game. I know he's got a passion for baseball, and he and I have some commonalities coming from the Metro Detroit area and have migrated to Chicago. So there's always something to talk about. I think that there's probably we used to root for the Tigers and now we despise the Tigers. But I can just say that about myself. I can't speak for him.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Chris Getz, the general manager of the White Sox, and he's talking about the new owner. Well, not quite the new owner. The will eventually be owner.
Part owner.
Justin Ishbia. Well, he is investment. He's going to make a heavier investment, and we are delighted to welcome in Mitchell Armantrout of the Chicago Sun-Times, their fine reporter covering politics and stadia, which is exactly what this is. Mitchell, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for
bless
having
you.
Me.
Thanks
bless
for joining
you.
Us.
I got to ask you, so as you research Justin Ishbia and as you look into his role and Jerry obviously kind of recruiting him for more investment, he was interested in perhaps buying the Minnesota Twins, and now he's in line to take over the White Sox. What do you believe is in it for him? In other words, why would he want to come on board with the uncertainty of whether he's taking over in 2029 or 2034 or however this thing is going to kind of end up being?
You know, I think this is kind of frustrating for White Sox fans because it was sort of laid out in this very Reinsdorf way, this convoluted sort of path to controlling ownership. But, you know, I think we can only sort of speculate at this point, but it seems like he thinks that this is his best chance to own a Major League Baseball team. Like you said, sounds like he was really close to getting a bigger stake of the Minnesota Twins last year. And friends at The Athletic did a lot of great reporting on that earlier this year about basically Reinsdorf, when he got wind of that, swooped in and said, hey, I'm looking to get out of this business fairly soon. So if you want to get a big piece of the White Sox pie, let's talk business. And I think that's kind of what came to a head last week. And, like I said, this is all it apparently may or may not happen, but I don't think that Reinsdorf would come out and, you know, they wouldn't make this sort of announcement if they didn't think that this was a deal that was going to go down in 4 years and or 8 years, depending on, you know, the specifics of how it happens. Kind of a weird sort of path to controlling ownership, but, you know, Ishbia seems to think that this is his best bet. So we'll see.
Part of it may involve he's building a house in Winnetka. You address that as well. I also think it's interesting, he's not spoken publicly about this and declined your interview request as he has others, but he did say in a statement that you quote him as saying he looked at this as an investment in the future of the Chicago White Sox and an opportunity to deepen my commitment to the city and the team. I think, as you point out after that, in the paragraph that followed, that might quell some concerns that people might have about him moving the team to Nashville, where he has some business interests and did attend Vanderbilt as a graduate there. Did you get the sense in your reporting that that Nashville possibility is one we should take off the table?
You know, it's certainly something that his statement, you know, talking about how he wants to marry his passion for baseball and kind of business and invest in the Chicago area, that certainly seemed geared towards trying to allay those concerns about Nashville, which have obviously been there for years with the White Sox. Jerry Reinsdorf publicly floated that idea of a potential relocation to Nashville just a year ago. But, you know, Justin Ishbia, you went to Vanderbilt.
Right.
He owns this huge private equity firm that's made billions of dollars over the years. That's, you know, where the bulk of his wealth lays. Also, I should say his father is the founder of one of the biggest mortgage lenders in America. So that's where another big chunk of his wealth comes from. But yeah, I mean, he does a lot of business in Nashville. There's no getting away from that. He owns a big part of a Major League Soccer team in Nashville, the Nashville Soccer Club. You know, those ties are undeniable. I guess you can, as with anything with the White Sox, you sort of wait to be seen if maybe that is held as some sort of leverage point for, you know, stadium money talks down the line. But again, that's totally going four steps ahead of the game here. Just based on what he said and what I've, you know, been able to learn so far about Justin Ishbia, which I should say, you know, isn't all that much. It's just sort of kind of what's out there in the public record at this point. He did an interview with Forbes last year where he gave some insight to sort of how he thinks. But, you know, there's still a lot to learn about Justin. And I think White Sox fans are going to be, you know, they want to hear it from himself that, you know, he's invested in building here in Chicago.
You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score. We're talking to Mitchell Armantrout of the Chicago Sun-Times, their fine reporter. And he joins us on the Otero Tire Hotline. Otero, your hometown tire, Otero.com. So, Mitchell, when we think about Stadia, right, we got the Bears. Where are they going? They didn't get the answer they wanted from the legislature in the last go-round. They can go back to them in September, but it looks increasingly like they're going to wind up in Arlington Heights. We know that that the Chicago Fire Soccer Club is building their own building, $650 million at the 78. That is going to happen because they got a guy in Joe Mansueto who's going to fund it himself. The White Sox are looking for a new building. Jerry has talked about the need for the building to anchor the White Sox in Chicago. Obviously, that is a site where they keep saying, oh, you could fit it down there. Oh, don't worry about it. You're going to have a soccer stadium and a baseball stadium. And that sounds great. I'm just wondering, is there any appetite at all in Springfield? You know, first of all, I wonder about the Bears and how much infrastructure help they're going to get and how much tax breaks and all the rest of it they're going to get. And I know they got people down in Springfield working on it, but you got people from Chicago. There's a political element here that doesn't want to help them leave the city. I'm curious about that. And also, you know, I would imagine Ishbia has enough money to help out significantly more than Jerry seems willing to in the 78. When would that happen if it were to happen? And again, public kind of appetite for spending money on stadia doesn't seem like it's overwhelming.
No, it's kind of at a historic low, it seems like. I talked to a lot of state legislators about this last week as they were wrapping up the budget in Springfield, and very tough budget year. You know, they were closing a $1 billion budget gap, and there really wasn't much room to talk about doing any favors for the Bears or the White Sox or whoever. And, you know, the one thing that a lot of those lawmakers have been telling me in the week since is, hey, look at Joe Mansueto. You know, that makes it a lot easier for you to build a stadium when you show up with your own money. When you're paying your way, you're not going to run into as many roadblocks. And, you know, say what you will about the way the Bears have handled things. You know, they still obviously are just kind of playing footsie with Arlington Heights and going back and forth. And, you know, obviously they're looking more towards Arlington Heights, but they still need a lot of help to make that happen. You know, regardless of that, the criticism that they've gotten for sort of going back and forth, you know, they still committed to paying $2 billion, the McCaskey family.
Right.
Again, you know, that's might cover half the project cost. But that's a concrete number that Jerry Reinsdorf really hasn't quite committed to publicly. You know, he said that he would pay for some of this, stated that he really wanted to get at the 78. And I know the team still has some hope to do that, to squeeze in two stadiums at the 78. I should say the local alderman, Pat Dahl, is pretty vehemently opposed to having two big stadiums down there. She says the residents wouldn't go for that. So that's kind of a big political battle to watch in the months and years ahead, I'm sure. But yeah, the biggest thing that Justin Ishbia brings to the table for the White Sox is he's really rich. Not to be blunt or too obvious about it, but you know, this is a guy with whose estimated net worth is almost twice that of Jerry Reinsdorf. You know, he can put some serious skin in the game for them. And, you know, that obviously the more money that they can commit to this themselves, I think that's when they might get some buy-in from state lawmakers and, you know, city officials as far as, you know, potentially getting some help from the public dollar side for some infrastructure, you know, the pipes and roads that any stadium needs. So, you know, I think that's, you know, again, this is all just reading the tea leaves, but right. You got to think that that's really what Reinsdorf is looking for here.
Based on your reporting, how involved is Related Midwest still with the White Sox in wanting to build the ballpark next to the Chicago Fire Stadium? And how much, if any, effect did the Fire's announcement have on the White Sox days later making that kind of proclamation?
You know, I've been told that, you know, this announcement was going to happen either way, regardless of what the White, the Fire, you know, had been planning. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I mean, it certainly is conspicuous timing to get this huge ownership transition plan announced just a few days after Joe Mansueto kind of called dibs on the 78 site. you know, I think that, you know, Related Midwest has been trying to make something big happen at the 78 for almost a decade now. And I think, you know, adding the White Sox to the mix, that would make it even more of a sort of a destination, kind of a focal point for, you know, for getting folks down there into the South Loop. You know, I haven't been able to really get through to folks at Related Midwest just to kind of get more of a rundown of exactly what they want to see happen as far as, you know, the two teams, but it's certainly kind of an exciting possibility.
The Michael Reese site was mentioned with the Bears. I don't know that the Bears ever seriously looked at it. They felt it was a little small for their idea of a dome, but somebody released a bunch of drawings of what it would look like, and I think it was the financiers themselves, the people that own that property. That is a beautiful location, and it's a big location, and if they could pull that off, might be another place to look at. But, you know, you tend to understand that people want what they want, and especially like a guy like Jerry, if he prefers to be in the 78, he'll try to make that happen. I'm not sure how the legislators feel, and if one location would be better from their perspective, or would be more what's the word, more likely to be financed if you feel like you've got like an area in the city with the Michael Reese site that is just kind of wasted?
You know, at least as far as the local state rep there, Cam Buckner, and the alderman, Lamont Robinson, down in Bronzeville, I think there's definitely, I think they can get a lot more political heft on their side if they were to look at the Michael Reese site. It's really just kind of been a plot of land that's been sitting there for more close to 20 years. You know, Mayor Daley back in the day, that was his big vision for an Olympic Village back when 2016 was on his radar before that crashed and burned pretty early in the process. So the city bought this land and it's just kind of sat there fallow for years and years and years. The developers who control this land on behalf of the city, they pitched the Bears really hard on trying to fit a stadium in there. Kevin Warren says that it's too narrow. There's, you know, an old rail line that goes through it.
Right.
Makes it not fitting for an NFL stadium. But, you know, MLB stadiums typically have a smaller footprint than, you know, a 100,000-seat football stadium. And they're a little bit cheaper, too, generally. Folks I've talked to at the White Sox say that hasn't been on their radar. They really like what the possibilities at the 78. But state legislators really view that the Michael Reese site as an opportunity to bring some much needed development to Bronzeville, you know, an African American neighborhood that has been kind of left behind in a lot of other development efforts compared to other parts of the city. I think that that's one spot where if they were to commit to that, I think the state could get behind them a lot more easy than, you know, something like the 78.
Mitchell, nice job. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Mitchell Armantrout of the Chicago Sun-Times. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's not the end of the story, obviously. It's just maybe beginning for the White Sox in terms of the ballpark and potential move to the South Loop.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
People assuming they have information about me, that's just not true. I've been straight up with these teams from the start about where I was at, you know, starting with the money thing. You know, I told every single one of the teams I talked to, you know, it ain't about the money. I play for 10 M's. You know, I don't care. I never once said I need a multi-year deal, $30, $40 million. It's absolute bullshit. I said I play for 10.
That's Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Clay Harbor is joining us in studio, and over the weekend, we found out that Aaron Rodgers was going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Now the question becomes, are they going to add to the receiving room, you think, to Taylor to Man, Rodgers listen. Being on the team?
First off, I want to say I'd play for 10 M's.
Exactly.
The way he casually threw out that number.
Is that a new thing, M's? Is that an Aaron Rodgers thing, or is that something that people... You're in that stratosphere of that type of economic wealth and generational wealth. Is 10 M's a thing?
Okay, first off, that was my career earnings, not per year. But yes, that's something that guys would say. I think that they will. So I got a name for you, Leyland Marshall, a name that we're familiar here with. In Chicago, and I think this name would make a lot of sense because you got DK Metcalf, who spent over 80% of his snaps last year outside. You know who's a veteran slot receiver that's available that you could just plug in right now and I think would gel well?
Who's that?
Keenan Allen.
Oh, yeah.
But Keenan Allen's on the market.
You know what? Keenan Allen, alongside DK Metcalf, with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, you have a running game, you have an offensive line. That's kind of scary.
Now you're cooking.
You might be cooking. I'm not saying you're cooking with fish grease, but you're cooking a little something.
Well, I mean, and Robert Woods, if you still add him into that mix, and then Freiermuth.
Yeah, they have Robert Woods, so that's not a bad receiving room at all.
Roman Wilson, the young receiver. I liked him out at the Senior Bowl. I think he's going to be a guy that can pop as a slot guy, but still, give him 1 year of Keenan Allen. He's still got some juice. He's got some gas in that tank. He could play in the slot. Give Rodgers this guy, third down target, somebody to get the ball to in the slot.
Okay, as stated, though, so back in our Five on It segment, you know how we do, Clay. Yeah. Every day we do five big questions.
What about, oh, yeah,
addressing
sorry.
Topics.
I'm still thinking about players.
But I just want to know, what do you think the ceiling and the floor is for this Pittsburgh Steelers team now that Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback? What is the floor and what is the ceiling, Clay?
Floor, 7-10.
Oh, so now Mike Tomlin's going to have a losing record for the first time in his career?
You said floor. I think it's possible.
Okay. All right.
I think it's possible. You're right. The last 9 years of not winning a playoff game, Tomlin's just this, you know, obviously you can say he's going to win 9 games. But the ceiling, 1 playoff win. But like I said, it's been 9 years since he's won a playoff game. And you go back 14 seasons. Rodgers in the playoffs, 7-9. Tomlin in the playoffs, 3-9. Last 14 seasons. So the ceiling to me, neither of these guys have had success in the playoffs in the last 14 years. You're telling me now that you put a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers with Mike Tomlin that hasn't won a playoff game, that they're going to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl? Somebody told me that's what you said your ceiling was? Come on, man.
All right.
He also said Tyreek Stevenson was a potential Pro Bowl earlier.
I think he's going to make the Pro Bowl. I really do believe that this is the year. Because what happens is, Clay, you know how it is. Every time a guy has a really good Pro Bowl caliber year, they have to wait a year because that first year doesn't really count because people don't know who they are. He's on everybody's radar, Tyreek Stevenson is. Everyone knows who he is, not just in this city, but everywhere because of what happened last year. He could turn a negative into a positive very quickly if he goes off in Dennis Allen's defense.
That's coach him up, Marshall Harris.
Here's my problem of why he is not going to make the Pro Bowl. Here's the thing, right? In this defense, obviously I love what Dennis Allen's doing, and I think that he's going to be able to scheme up some pressure and in some good situations. But the defensive ends, the edge rushers for the Bears, and when you run a lot of man-to-man, and they're running some confusing stuff out there, but when you run a lot of man-to-man, guess what? It's timing. I don't care who you are. If you're Deion Sanders, if you don't have any pressure for 4 seconds, you are not going to do well. You need a defensive line that's pressuring the quarterback so you can only hold this man for 3 seconds. The Bears don't got that right now.
Isn't that why they pay Dio Odingbo all the money?
Dio Odingbo had 5 sacks last year. Dio Odingbo's a good hard-nosed player, run stopper, big body. This guy is not a sack-the-quarterback type player.
Okay.
They still paid him a lot of money.
He gets the pressures, though, and they're hoping that the pressures turn into sacks, one. But two, that extra cap space we were just talking about, that y'all are talking about running backs, why can't they go make an addition at defensive line, to your point, on the edge somewhere, and get it where they have waves of guys coming after you?
Za'Darius Smith. I mean, that name to me makes too much sense. I know he's a bit older, but last year he comes to Detroit and has 5 sacks in 7 games. He had, what, 10 sacks last year on the season? Would have led the Bears in sacks, pressures, pressure rate, and PFF grade more than Montez Sweat. I think Montez Sweat can have a solid year, but I don't think Montez Sweat is that guy that you can count on to have double-digit sacks a year. He had it once, but you look at his average. He's a 7-sack-a-year guy. I look at Montez Sweat. I watch tape like I'm a tight end. I go, if we're in meetings, we might chip him once or twice. He's not a guy. People are like, oh, he's getting chipped. He's not getting chipped. You are not game planning Montez Sweat. Oof. You are not chipping Montez Sweat all game. And people say that you're chipping Montez Sweat. Go back and watch the tape. He is not in the top 40 players that got chipped last year.
So who's getting chipped on the Bears right now?
Nobody.
Oh,
don't even have to use a chip.
That is sobering right there, because that is the reality of what we talked about going into the draft. They need someone who can get to the quarterback, and they came away from the draft. They didn't get anybody who can get to the quarterback.
But the way they paid people, which is how I follow how they view these guys, they paid Montez Sweat like he's going to get home 10 times a season, at least. They paid Dio Odingbo like he is going to turn a lot of those numbers of almost into getting home. So that's how I feel about it from a defensive line standpoint. They also spent money on Grady Jarrett. I don't think that's where they're spending the money. I think when you hear Ben Johnson talk about how much the run game has to factor in, that's it for me. I do want to go back to your point about the Steelers, though. They went 10-7 last year.
Yeah.
So when you consider that, and then just the elite nature of the AFC, you know, the first and the second tier of teams, there's a drop. Like when you're talking about Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Kansas City, obviously, I think it's still, every game could be Chiefs, Bills, like Dan Bernstein said, and the NFL would be happy. But I don't see how this isn't at least 9-7 for them, but I don't know that it's much higher.
I think they can win a playoff game, but like you said, you look at that division, and are they going to beat the Ravens? No. I mean, they'll play them tough, but the Ravens are going to win the division.
Oh, hold on.
You got Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and obviously the Browns, I don't know. The Browns actually, if they figure out their quarterback position, are going to be better than people think. I love them. I love the draft pick that they had. You worked the interior of the line, and now you got Myles Garrett. I know the Browns are still finishing last, but there's no way the Ravens aren't winning that division. I'm sorry.
Mike Tomlin, career-wise, 4-2 against Lamar Jackson. I'm going to leave that with you. As in, they split last year, he swept them 2 years ago, and then 3 years ago they split again.
But one of those teams is going to be left out in that division. Last year was the
Browns
Bengals.
Are always left out.
But no, I mean, last year was the Bengals. Like,
I don't think that's necessarily true, because first of all, go look at the AFC East. Let's start there. Second of all, let's go look at the AFC South. Let's go there, too. Now, are you following me right now?
So three teams will make the playoffs from this division, you're saying?
I believe that to be the case as it stands right now. Now, I could be off, maybe, but that's where my belief system starts, is if we're talking about the AFC, it's about the AFC North and the AFC West, and then the South and the East are just one per division teams.
No, I feel that. And people need to realize that Aaron Rodgers wasn't as bad as people think he was last year. His last 7 games, he had 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He threw 28 touchdown passes last year. Guess who threw 28 touchdown passes? The MVP, Josh Allen. Guess who threw less than 28 touchdown passes? Patrick Mahomes. So this guy had a better year than people think. The only thing, his intermediate passing game from 10 to 20 yards, like, needs work. He was 30th in EPA per play in that mid-range passing game last year. And, you know, Ben Johnson saying EPA per play is very important. So if he can clean that up, like I said, get a good slot weapon like Keenan Allen, then I think they might be cooking with some grease. But the Steelers, we all know, are a defensive team. There was only three teams in the NFL that ran the ball more than they did last year.
That's
it's going to be defense and running games that does it for the Steelers.
Yeah, that's what it's been, because guess what? They haven't had a good quarterback. I'm trying to tell y'all, Aaron Rodgers, even if he's not 37-year-old back-to-back MVP Aaron Rodgers, is still better than all the other quarterbacks the Steelers have had since Ben Roethlisberger by a mile.
How dare you do that to Charlie Batch?
Is that what we're doing? Charlie Batch?
Poor Charlie Batch.
I just had to be reminded that Mike Vick finished out his career as a Pittsburgh Steeler and went 2-1 in three starts back in 2015.
I caught my first ever touchdown pass from Michael Vick.
Yeah. Well, you know,
there it is.
That's all I can really say to that, right?
Wait, what do you think about Jaire Alexander likely going somewhere else? Like, the reports are saying that he was released this morning.
I think the guy missed 10 games each of the last two seasons. In the last four seasons, he's played 34 of 68 games. Half the time, the team thought he was healthy enough to play, but he didn't. Okay, that's not going to bode well for your team. Marshall Harris, what's the best ability in the NFL?
It'd probably be availability.
Availability. If you're not available, you can't get paid like you're playing all these games. They said, okay, we like you, we want to keep you. We're going to have to get you in a restructure, which means a pay cut. He said, I ain't taking a pay cut. So they say, okay, you're taking just the cut then and take away the pay. So they cut him. It makes sense.
I wonder what, I got to see what that dead cap hit is, because with that contract,
it can't
gotta
be good.
It's got to be pretty big.
While she's looking at that, I got to ask you, okay, so looking at this restructured NFC North, I already thought that the Bears and Packers were going to be kind of on par coming into the season. The Alexander, even though he missed a lot of games the last couple of seasons, 10 each to your point, it feels like the Bears are making this slow, incremental uptick, and the first team in their sights is the Green Bay Packers. Will the Bears have a better record than the Green Bay Packers this season?
Man, that's tough, man. That's a close one. I would say, man, I would say yes. I'm going to go yes just to be a homer. And the one guy I wanted to mention on the defensive line for the Bears I think is going to take a huge jump and is going to be a real weapon that could make a Pro Bowl.
Javon?
Yes.
Javon Dexter.
That's a guy who just looks like he changed his body. He looks good. I'm like, man, this dude is...
And he's a leader now.
He's getting people together. That's the stuff that you want to hear, you want to see. He's staying after practice. Coaches are talking about him. Players are talking about him. Javon Dexter's going to have a big year this year. So I think he picks up some of the slack there. But the Packers, their cornerbacks right now, they got great safeties, but their cornerbacks in Jeff Hafley's defense, they need cornerbacks, and right now they're not looking that hot. And the Bears, what'd they do? They invested in wide receivers. So this should be, with Ben Johnson, you should be able to attack these weak cornerbacks and find some mismatches out there.
Jaire Alexander at 28 years old, his dead money, according to overthecap.com for this year, will be $17 million. But the cap savings will only be $7.59.
That's a strong hit.
$17 million.
I think they're going to have to figure something out at cornerback, is what it sounds like, Clay.
Yeah, positionally, like if we did like a 60-second, like, Bears versus Packers, better at the position. So quarterback, I'll even give quarterback to the Packers. Just Jordan Love, more experience. Running back, you probably got to go Josh Jacobs with the Packers.
Absolutely.
O-line, the Packers have done a decent job, but this year with the Bears, I might go Bears offensive line, tight ends. After Colson Loveland, I might go Bears receiver. I might go Bears again. I know the Packers got a lot of number two guys.
Well, they have a lot of injuries, too. They always seem to pop up with their receiving core.
Yeah, and then even defensively. Cornerback now, Bears, defensive line. I know they got Rashawn Gary. That's like the whole Montez Sweat thing. LVN, Lucas Van Ness just hasn't panned out for him. They're talking about moving him down into a three technique to get something out of him. Former first-round pick. I mean, that's maybe a wash. Linebacker, I'm taking the Bears. TJ Edwards, so safety, you're probably going with the Packers. But when you look at the roster there, I think the Bears are right on par with the Packers. Obviously, the Lions and the Vikings, roster-wise, I think are still a little bit ahead of them. Vikings contingent on J.J. McCarthy.
And we still, of course, know what Ben Johnson said about the Packers head coach and his feelings towards him.
So. It was an easy thing to say at a press conference. That's like shooting fish in a barrel. You got to say that. It's like if you're the head coach at LSU, you say, beat Bama. I mean, these are
the
rules.
Do you say it in a fake accent?
I don't.
You got to go out there and you got to beat Bama.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't even say that. He just went out there, Brian Kelly, with the family or whatever he tried
to say.
It
was at a basketball game where he got on the microphone and started talking like he had been raised Creole or something. I was like, what is this?
Whoa.
Well, Marshall's from Bama, so he knows how the accent is down there.
Yeah, I know I'm from Huntsville, which is...
we are Chicago's...
Oh, which is 65% of the people not even from the state of Alabama because there's a transplant here.
There it is.
There it is. My family.
I mean, we are 670 to score. That is also true. But yeah, that's always my favorite. But I get it. Ben Johnson, you're supposed to say beat the Packers. Like, that's just part and parcel, isn't it?
He's got to beat them at least once this year now after all that. I mean, you can't say I love beating the Packers twice and you go out there and you lose to them twice. That would just be a bad look.
Well, at least they were 1-1 as a team last year.
Yeah, yes. Jordan Love didn't play three-fourths of the game, but we still won the game.
Don't worry about that.
Wow, not the details getting in the way of a good story, a good narrative.
They wanted that game, that team. We have more to come here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Thank you so much to Clay Harbor for coming in. This was great.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Appreciate it.
That's Clay Harbor.
The Claymaker's in the building.
He said it. Former NFL tight end, as we mentioned, for Philadelphia, of course. Also the host of the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN. It is him, David Haw, and Ruthie Polinsky. You should check it out if you get the chance, especially if you have Comcast. That's a hint. They're available. Coming up next, I think we got to break some Bears relationship news, huh?
Big things popping. Big things popping. In fact, so big that the aforementioned Luka Van Ness was in the building.
That's how big it was. That's next on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Craig Counsell just gets ejected from games. That's the way it is. That is Cubs baseball.
We're somewhere in the right multiverse now, where that's just the thing now. That happens.
Basically, I guess. Man, it's been crazy. We got to calm things down here just a little bit. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show in today for the fellows who will eventually return. It is me, Mark Rohde, and him, Anthony Herron. We are here up until the start of Cubs pregame. The Cubs and the Phillies will rematch here today after the Phillies beat the Cubs 4-3 in a highly eventful game last night, and I am thrilled to bring in the manager of the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Craig, and I mean this when I ask this, how are you? Are you doing okay?
I'm doing great. It's a nice day in Tuesday in Philadelphia.
And it's been a wild couple of days for you, for sure, with back-to-back ejections. I guess take us through last night, what went down, what the argument was, what you were told, and why you were ejected.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was interference by the runner running outside the baseline. Stu disagreed, and then I was ejected.
In what
Very
way?
Simple.
In the position that Carson Kelly was in there, how does the way, because it feels like one of those gray areas that's there, that's kind of open to interpretation. So how was Carson Kelly's job made more difficult by the base runner?
Well, the runner is allowed, and if the runner is running on the grass, he is in violation. But because we completed the play, they deemed that there was no effect made on our fielders because Michael Carson eventually threw to first. Michael caught the ball, so there was, even though he was in violation of the rule, they judged that there was no interference.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, him saying that it didn't affect the play, but it acknowledging that he's out of the base path, shouldn't he just automatically be out? I mean, is that the discussion? And were you booted too fast without getting a further explanation, or should there have been more?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no reason to debate, like, if I was thrown out too fast, who knows? That's his call. I think the play was affected. I think that's what we're going to, ultimately disagreed on, is that I thought our fielders were affected in the play, and the umpire thought our fielders were not affected in the play. So ultimately, that was the disagreement. If Michael would have just dropped the ball, I think he would have been called out. That seems ridiculous, but according to Stu, that's the rule. That's how it went down.
So I call it my day job. Like, I'm the football guy here at the station, and so I spend a lot of time between my playing career and coaching the game and now analyzing it consistently, kind of breaking down mechanics of different officials in different positions in football. You know, where's the umpire stationed? Where's the back judge? Where's the head linesman? All these different things in them trying to execute their job. You don't have a week in between games like we tend to in the football space. Is there much conversation that plays out just talking about even just positioning of the umpire and whether or not they're just mechanically even in the right spot to interpret a call accurately?
No, there's really not. The umpires have a hard job, and the replay has made their job a little easier, but it's still a hard job. And there's a world of calls that are eligible for replay. There's a world of calls that are not eligible for replay. That's somewhat confusing and related to, frankly, like how fast we want the game to go. There wasn't an issue with that on the play. It was more an issue of like just kind of interpretation of the play.
Yeah, and I most definitely want to get more into the game last night and some of the stuff that happened in the late innings. But you were ejected the day before as well, and that was on behalf of Ian Happ by Derek Thomas. What was your interpretation of all of that for Nico Hoerner and Nico Hoerner admitting that he told the umpire he was having a bad day?
I mean, it all speaks for itself. I mean, there's no reason for me to add anything. You guys can all, it's perfect talk show radio. You guys can ask your guests, does that warrant an ejection? So you should have at it and have fun with it.
Yeah, we have. We've been heating it up pretty good, man. Well, I will ask you this, though. I thought on Saturday, I will say, I laughed out loud on Saturday when that your dugout was chirping, and you don't have to say anything if you don't want, but the dugout was chirping. They were going after Doug Eddings, and Eddings kind of looked back at the dugout and basically said,
"I'll get better, but I'm not going to hear from you."
I'll get better. Did you pick that up, Craig? And did you at least think that that was funny and a good answer from Doug Eddings?
No, we didn't. The mics are better than our ears. So I mean, I knew he was, you know, there was chirping going on back and forth, and, which is fine. And you know, which is okay. It's part of it. Yeah, I mean, that's all we're asking. So I guess he gave the right answer. You know, we're just asking for as much as possible, the right pitches to be called. And, felt like some pitches early in that game were going against us.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we were able to get through all that. We want you to... I don't know. There's some people who want to see... I guess there's a name for it when you get ejected from three straight games. What were they saying on the show before us?
Oh, turkey.
Oh, it's the turkey.
So, bowling terms, in bowling parlance. You get three strikes in a row, it's a turkey.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the turkey?
Yeah, a bowling term. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, they flash it on like the screen, like at the bowling lanes.
Oh, okay.
You know, they have big turkey up there. Yeah.
There you go. All right, all right.
Have you?
I mean, you've never done that, probably. That's all you.
No, that's true. You got me there, and I have never been ejected from a Major League Baseball game either. That's why I'm so interested in it.
And in comparing sports, because that's where my brain tends to go. I think, like in football, you can say awful things to a ref on the sideline during the football game. In basketball, they're spitting on the guy accidentally. In baseball, it's just like the world we've always kind of been in baseball, where you have to be very, like, they're very rigid about how you approach them, what you can announce, what you can question, and all these things. You're a fairly analytical guy, seemingly. Do you go into these interactions knowing sometimes, all right, there's a chance he might run me here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, really yesterday I was just trying to get an answer on the play. You know, that exclusively that. I was just trying to understand the reason for the call and trying to, you know, sometimes you're just asking that they also that they confer with each other. Like, because I still think, you know, four guys look at the play, maybe just something, you know, and obviously they're going to tend to back each other up, which is normal, but I think it could a better answer come if four guys thought about it than one guy. And I think that's pretty reasonable to ask. You know, but, you know, they if they don't walk up to you immediately, you know, if they don't come to you immediately, they're probably not going to overturn one of their own guys' calls. And that's frustrating a little bit. Because I think the goal should be to get it right. I think both teams want that. But yeah, baseball's got its own kind of strange culture around that part of it. And I was thinking, when Saturday I was thinking about that with Nico, is like, can you imagine an NBA player getting ejected for saying that to an NBA ref? I mean, that's like a compliment. I mean, it's a nice, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm a little conflicted on that one. Like, to have, like, you're this umpire, and you got somebody looking back. Like, maybe you are having a bad day, but then somebody tells you you're having a bad day.
But by comparison to other sports, though, like what we're allowed to say and yell,
that's
and
a
scream
good point.
And football.
I guess maybe that's literally because of the speed and the adrenaline with which the game is being played. Maybe. I don't know. I guess maybe baseball lends itself. Maybe it's baseball's fault, Craig.
It is. Yeah, we got a lot of problems.
Where do you stand? Because Mark had an opportunity to talk to Nico about the whole situation from the previous game yesterday. I really love Nico's answer about just the idea of sort of the robot ump, you know, persona and whether or not balls and strikes would get called. And Nico had a really thoughtful answer about the role of the catcher and pitch framing and how there's a skill involved in that. You've obviously gotten to evaluate all this stuff, his play and manager and everything. Now, where do you stand on just the continued evolution of how much technology gets involved in umping the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a place that I'm really torn. I mean, I think, you know, I do think sports in general, like the human element to it, we got to just be careful. I mean, it's why the emotion of sports is kind of what we love. So it's a big part of what we love about sports. So I think we just have to be careful of when we're starting to chip away at that. But, you know, on the same side, I think, you know, some of the systems they've come up with, maybe of the challenge system, I think is entertaining. It will be entertaining for fans. I think fans will really enjoy it. But I think the emotion of the game, like, we got to be really careful that we don't kind of put technology at the forefront and at the expense of emotion, right? And I think that's going to, because that's what we all fall in love with sports for. I'm hesitant sometimes when these great technological advances come through that we run into them.
I'm guessing Craig would have finished the game, though, if it was a cyborg as the ump. Mm. I don't think they would have gotten all sensitive about Craig saying to ask for help.
That's the whole thing, though, here, is that if we had robot umpires, we wouldn't be getting to talk to Craig Counsell about his favorite topic, and that is being ejected in back-to-back games. So,
I mean, who wouldn't it be their favorite topic about that? Yeah.
It's part of the concoction, isn't it, Craig? This is good baseball talk, right?
Yeah, it's good radio talk, absolutely.
Yes. I love that you make that, you do the distinguishment between those two things. That's so great. I actually do want to take you to the 11th inning of last night's game, and I know that you were not out there managing, but it was kind of a wild inning because you had the bunt single that was trying to move a guy over, followed by an Otto Kemp bunt single, which was probably another sacrifice situation that loads the bases before the game-winning hit. What did you think about that inning? Was there any way that it could have been defended better or could have done anything differently in that spot?
Well, I think I would say, look, they made two great bunts off a guy throwing 100 miles an hour. So I think hats off to both of those guys for doing that. I think I would say if you're laying out in an expected bunt situation, we still have to get an out in at least one of those. That's you know what I would tell our guys and what we did tell our guys. And so you got to give them some credit. They did execute tremendously well against a very difficult pitcher to bunt against. And so sometimes you tip your hat and you have to. The other side is trying to beat you. But, there is a place that we can execute and learn from in that situation. I mean, we still would have been up against it pretty good to try to keep runs off the board there, but that's probably something we could have done better.
And then some one good thing from the game before it gets away from me, defensively last night, several assists. Kyle Tucker throwing out Edmundo Sosa trying to take second in the second. I'll throw in Matthew Boyd's pickoff in the third, even though he had one throw away as well that led to a run. Ian Happ throws out the Castellanos throw in the eighth inning. These guys kept on thinking that they could take second base. What did that defense mean to you? What does it mean to you in general? Because the defensive metrics are pretty good for your team this year.
Yeah, this road trip we had a game in Washington where we had two outfield assists. I mean, you get two outfield assists in a game and your outfield's doing something really good. So, defense is a big part of our success. We are not a high strikeout team, and so the ball is going to be in play, and that means, you know, converting outs, finding out somewhere out there is crucial for us. I think we'll continue to play good defense. It's going to be really imperative that we do, and it's been a big reason that we're off to a pretty good start.
So bases loaded, bottom of the 11th, tie game, and no outs. You're in the clubhouse. You're not able to be out there making these decisions. And just from a situational perspective, again, just kind of going to my football brain, where there's a week in between to prepare for every conceivable scenario that may come up on a Sunday. I'm watching that play out last night, thinking, all right, so Craig's not out there, but everyone seemed ready, seemed prepared to go. There's the, you know, the conversation with the ump just to make sure we can shift in the way we prefer to shift in this moment. How much time are you able to spend just on all these individual situations that may come up, especially on the odd chance you might not be there to make the call?
Yeah, I mean, that's something, you know, you're there's like specific preparation, and then there's just kind of the conversation that, you know, goes through a game where the situation kind of doesn't happen. But a lot of times what we're talking about in the dugout is, if this happens, what are we going to do? If this happens, what are we going to do? And if you keep going over the scenarios, when they happen, you're ready for them. And so that's, I think that's what a lot of time in the dugout is spent doing, a lot of conversation with your bench coaches spent and pitching coach is spent on. So that when situations arise, you've already kind of had the discussion of what's going to happen. And so, you know, Ryan was really prepared for that last night and did a great job getting the infielders in. And unfortunately, they hit a ball pretty good.
A lot of folks talking about Ryan Flaherty for other jobs that may end up coming open or that might already be open out there. Situations like that didn't look overmatched in the least. He was kind of ready to handle everything. It was impressive.
Absolutely. And yeah, he's this is year two for him, and he's doing a heck of a job. And just from a coaching staff perspective, I think Tommy Hotovy is doing a heck of a job. Our pitching has been, you know, really, really solid. And we've preached, because of our kind of lack of strikeouts, just getting ahead in the count, and it's really bearing some fruit, and we're among the leaders in the league at doing that.
Yeah, Craig, you guys, Colin Ray going tonight for you guys, Shota Imanaga through yesterday. I got the numbers in front of me. You know, two innings, did not allow a run, one hit, four strikeouts over his two innings. What can you tell us after that, and where we might be with Shota Imanaga and his potential return?
Yeah, I mean, so Shota's got a couple more starts before you're going to see him in Chicago, and that's because we, as a starter, you got to go through this process where you're lengthened out and you recover, where your arm recovers. Otherwise, we're making you really susceptible to injury. So he'll start again in Arizona on his next turn, and then we'll go on from there. But you know, he definitely has two more. Kind of rehab appearances before we're looking to see him in Chicago.
And you guys continue to get quality starts, or really lean on guys that maybe you weren't expecting to lean on this year. And I keep on making the point that it kind of went from this novelty where you're getting these great starts from guys like Colin Ray and Matthew Boyd that you didn't necessarily know what you were going to get. And now you have to get these starts out of these guys, or you guys would not be 14 games over 500. What have you thought about Matthew Boyd and his last couple of starts last night? Maybe gets lost in the shuffle of a crazy game, and then, you know, he had five perfect innings in his outing previous to this.
Well, I think Matthew's been, you know, just solid, and maybe that's even too light of a compliment, but he's been excellent. He's been consistent, super effective. He's been efficient in getting us deep into games, which is a kind of related to getting the bullpen successful. So all of those things, you know, it was a great job by our evaluative crew and Jed, and to bring on a pitcher who's, you know, really one of the better free agent signs of the winter.
And then one more pitcher question from me, at least, and that is Ryan Presley last night came in the seventh, 2-1 Phillies, got a couple of guys on, but he struck out the last two, including Kyle Schwarber, where he got him swinging on that high fastball, 95 miles per hour. And I don't know if he'd been hitting that high velocity wise. It feels like he's been, like, Presley has been ramped back up well after having some sluggish times early on. Do you expect to keep putting Presley in those spots, or do you think he could get down the line a shot in the ninth, which I know has been going to Palencia lately?
Well, I think what's important is that we just put zeros up when we, you know, so let's just keep putting zeros up as much as we can. Ryan's done a heck of a job. You know, he came back from a poor outing, and just one where and he's really around that one outing, he's been really, really good. So that's what we need. And I think all our guys in the bullpen right now are pitching really well. And that's all related in terms of, you know, the length the starters are giving us and the effectiveness of each one of the relievers. So just put up zeros, get outs, hand the ball to the next guy, and we'll add up to 27 and we'll add up to a win.
Over the past week, you know, the best offense in baseball, the numbers haven't necessarily been there over the past week. Is there any consistent refrain or a trend you're noticing that might concern you here over the past week?
Probably Tarek Skubal and Zach Wheeler. you know, that's the thing you notice. And look, those guys, when you face these guys, like, you can go around the league and pick the best offenses in the history of the game. You're gonna score less runs. You know, and you're gonna have to win close games. And fortunately, we've been on the wrong side of some close games against both those guys. And that's just the nature of it, man. You gotta just keep going and know we're gonna face Skeens this weekend and we're gonna have to play the same game. So you just gotta get a little bit better and be a little bit tighter with everything. But it's tough to, you're not gonna put up big numbers against those guys. It's a very rare day when you do.
I believe it might have been Craig Counsell who once said that home runs come in really handy against those types of guys, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it starts. Kyle Tucker with a homer, because you're not going to get a lot of three or four or five hit innings, right, Craig?
And Ian,
they don't give up four hits in an inning. They just, you know, they just don't. Their pitch quality and their stuff is, and their execution is just too high of a level for that to happen.
Let me sneak in one college baseball question with you, Craig, because the College World Series is upon us this week. So me covering the Big Ten, UCLA is now representing the Big Ten, but you're a Midwest guy, born and bred. Your son's playing ball in the Midwest, you know, both initially at the Big Ten, now one son at Kansas. But the evolution that I've been talking about with a lot of folks on my Big Ten radio show is whether or not the calendar for college baseball is going to be shifted in a way that benefits folks who grow up and then play college baseball in the Midwest. You experienced it yourself. Now a couple of sons are doing it right now, too. What's your impression of just kind of how the schedule plays out for college baseball and whether or not there is something that could be beneficial? If it's just like 2 or 3 weeks later, it feels like that would level the playing field.
Yeah, as much as anything from a spectator perspective, that's why you'd love to see the season move back a little bit. And it's just a weather thing, you know, the fans, baseball it's tough to watch baseball in cold weather. And I think it's meant to be watched in warm weather because of the kind of, it's a slower paced game. And so in the Midwest and in these Big Ten schools at Iowa or at a Minnesota, like, you gotta get to May and June before you're going to want to sit outside for 3 hours and enjoy a baseball game when it's meant to be enjoyed. So I would be a big fan of it. It would be a huge deal for Northeast and Midwest baseball. Absolutely.
I like it. I like thinking about sunshine, which I see outside of our studios right now. And Craig, I just want you to know, as we let you go, we are rooting for you. We are rooting for you.
We can make history happen.
Yeah,
today.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Anthony seems to want you to be ejected. I want you to stay in the game tonight.
There has been a Cubs manager that has been ejected 3 consecutive games.
There hasn't been or has?
There has.
Who?
Is it Lou Piniella?
Yeah.
That's my guess. Lou Piniella?
Frankie Frisch. Nice Ooh. Try.
Frankie Frisch. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Frankie, I don't, when did he manage the Cubs? What year was it, Craig? If you're going to do this.
Going down this rabbit
Yeah,
hole,
if you're going to go down this rat, you got to give me a year or a decade.
Like late 40s, early 50s.
Oh, okay. I think old Ed Harding might have told you
the
that.
The well-known Frankie Frisch era.
Yeah. Who told you that? Was it Coomer? Who told you that?
I've had several people, actually.
Okay.
It's around, you know?
We're the only ones they don't know, apparently.
Yeah, right. All the cool kids know all about Frankie Frisch.
Craig, you're the best man. Honest to God, if you do get ejected, will you come on the afternoon show again tomorrow?
Yeah, I will. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I will.
Mark
I will.
That down.
That's why we're safe.
Thanks, Craig.
See you later.
You got it.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
We are back live here at the United Center. Chuck Swirsky, my main man, Bill Weddington.
Hey, Chuck, have you ever heard of Murphy's Law?
I have. Everything that could go wrong goes right. Yeah,
exactly. And have you ever heard of Cole's Law?
No.
No, it's thinly sliced cabbage and salad dressing. It's really good.
And Will Weddington played with Michael. Will, thanks so much for taking some time with us. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
And that brings Bill Weddington off Chicago's bench.
Jordan, turn around.
Oh! And on the power jam!
He's added a little something to the Bulls' offense here from the power forward spot.
Good coach.
Gets his first point.
Weddington again with a slam.
The man's going hard to the basket. Weddington at two hoops.
Are you going to double team Jordan? If they do, if you double team, they're going to spot up. Michael finds the opportunity. Weddington with a jam. 3.1 remaining. Timeout, New York. That was outstanding.
It is the beef Weddington. Only in Chicago could a second string center become a fast food immortal.
Back with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show, live from the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar in Lindenhurst. Presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Mark Crotty and Robbie Maklof with you, indeed, live at the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar, 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst, and pulling up alongside of us here at the Score table at the Lynx Sports Bar with a full, well, not a full beer anymore.
Not anymore. When you started that sentence.
Bill Weddington now has about a half a beer, and that's the way we like it, Bill.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys having me out here. And just so my friends know that they're listening, and I've already gotten texts that I got caught belly up at the bar. It's not a secret, Bill and Michelle. I'm allowed to be belly up at the bar in the summertime.
As I told you, it's not a secret. It was a plan.
It was a plan.
Like, you just came in here, Billy from the block just walks in here, and he was ready to go. He came right up to the table. He was ready to jump on. We're like, no, we'll wait a little while, 4 o'clock. So you hung out at the bar for a little while, saw you over there by the circus setup, taking a couple shots into the roughage there.
Very, very cool, the golf simulators they got set up here. Nice spot. I got to work on my game, apparently. Obviously, when I play by myself, I score much better.
Yeah, it's always the case.
Set the rules for yourself.
Of course, you set some real rules. By the way, did you see the T-shirt that Rami Maklof
that's you right
is
there.
Wearing today?
Mac.
Look at
can I call
that.
You Mac?
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
That's kind of nice. I mean, I like it because I have hair.
Yeah, you do.
Something
you do
I don't have
anymore. Tight, man.
And the couple of hairs I have left on my face are not brown anymore.
That's tight right there.
Kind of grayish.
Just for you, Bill.
This is a big moment right
nice.
Here.
Thank you. I am very impressed that you still have that shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, I bought it recently.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Like 3 years ago.
Oh, I thought that you've been like wearing and washing. I guess it would be a little bit more worn down.
Also, would it fit like this was 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
This wouldn't fit me.
That would be a little, now that I think about it, it'd be pretty suspect in a lot of ways if you were still wearing a shirt that you wore 30
years ago. That'd be a little weird.
But, yeah. God bless you for doing
it. I sought it out. I love this. I had this shirt when I was a kid. I loved it, and I sought it out and bought it again.
Yeah. There you go. It's a good shirt. I'm going to be honest. I have a couple left in the garage somewhere in a container.
Bull stuff?
Yeah.
Like old. So it's made its way. Yeah. So what do you do with all? Is there just one place in the house where you keep all of the Bull stuff, like memories? I don't know what that would exactly entail.
We have a big container with a bunch of stuff in it, different things and I don't want to call them scrapbooks because it's not really scrapbooks, but just memorabilia and stuff that I collected up through that era here that I had. Yeah. And I have stuff in my summer house from Dallas and Sacramento, but all my Chicago stuff is here.
Nice.
Scrapbooking.
You keep the rings, though.
Scrapbooking.
Keep the rings someplace special, though. That's not just in the
No, in the box with the
rings are actually in a safe deposit box.
Okay,
which
good
is
smart.
Which is good and bad. It's great, but you never see them because the only time I go, I have to, if I go somewhere, it has to be a plan.
Exactly,
okay?
Totally.
All right, I'm going to a juvenile diabetes or a boys' club fundraiser, and I got to go get my ring.
Yeah,
and so I got to make a trip to the bank to open it up and get it because you know you just don't know.
Sure, you don't know.
I like to know things.
Well, maybe this is the time that I admit this to you with all humility, Bill, that I actually own, somehow, some way, I do own a World Series ring in my life because I was lucky enough to have been a Cubs bro. I did pre and post for the Cubs in 2016, so I was kind of like part of the team, so I somehow did manage to get a World Series ring.
Nice.
And so I've run into some of the issues that, like, when I first got it, of course, I wore it all over the place. I was really excited, bragged, used it to my benefit in whatever way possible. And it got to the point where my mom, who would always say, what are you doing with that ring? What are you doing? Are you going to put it somewhere? Are you going to put it in a safety deposit box? Are you going to do something with it? And she's like, every time she said it, she's absolutely right, because it would be devastating to lose something like this. So finally, point of my story is finally, it was about a month ago, I finally conceded, gave the ring to my mom to take care of, and she put it in a safe. So, but to your point now, when I want it for something like this, I might have brought out the ring to show to people, but it has to be this whole plan now to get the ring.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's good to have it. The only good thing I could say is, I mean, obviously, the ring's got your name on it.
Yeah, it does.
So if something does happen to it, so someone decides they want it more than you and they're willing to do whatever they need to do to get it, it's going to be theirs, because once they start showing it to people, everyone's going to know.
That's true.
So that's the only saving grace. But, like, do you really want to go through that? No. So it's better to just keep it locked up.
100%.
Yeah, I keep my Little League championship trophy at my mom's house. It's safe and sound there.
Poor Ronnie. You're so cute. You'll get there someday. Don't worry. You'll be like us and have a championship ring. Yeah. Oh, you poor guy. Bill, let's you and I hang out.
There you go. We can do that.
This guy's not cool. I can't ask Bill questions.
I will say this. I've seen the Cubs ring. And rings today are so much bigger than they used to be.
They really are.
Yeah.
It's like it's a competition now.
It really is, on how big you can make it. And they have now compartments that open on the rings that have different things. It's unbelievable.
They do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Different rings. I know Golden State had a ring that had it opened up somehow and showed something.
Yeah, the Bucks championship ring a couple of years ago, you opened it up and had a QR code in there, and you scanned it, and it had like a highlight reel, like a yearbook of that year's championship team.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. You know what? Honestly, bit much. That's a bit much. It's kind of losing its sanctity a little bit. Yeah.
I don't get it, because the rings we got, which now are small, I know Brandon Faber worked for the Blackhawks when they won their 3-10, and their rings were just enormous. Right. And our rings are big, so you wear them. They're huge. So I will say it's uncomfortable to wear them. They're just that big.
Oh, yeah. They stand out.
And you go out, and it's like, and his ring's like twice the size. I'm like, how do you wear that? I mean, first it's heavy, but then obviously, unless you wear it, you got to wear it on your left hand, because every time you shake hands, it hurts. It's just metal and steel.
Like, hello,
gold.
Good to see you.
Fingers, and it's just like, you know, these are the hardships of being a champion. I'm sorry. You got to deal with it.
Life is hard at the top, Bill.
We were talking earlier, Bill, about the situation going on right now in the NBA Finals and this NBA postseason, and specifically the New York Knicks looking for a brand new head coach and finding themselves asking for permission to various head coaches and getting rejected to even have the opportunity to talk to and perhaps trade for one of these coaches. The latest name that came up was Billy Donovan, the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, and the Bulls rejected them and said, no, you cannot talk to Billy Donovan. What do you think about that in general? Like, how important is Billy Donovan to these Chicago Bulls right now?
I think Billy's very important. I think the players like and respect Billy very much, and he's done excellent with what he has right now to get us where we are and what's going on. And I understand why New York would want Billy Donovan. I mean, he's a Long Island guy. And, you know, he grew up in Long Island, and he's a New York guy. So they'd love to have him back there. But I believe he's really a big part of this team. And with what the front office is showing so far, that's the direction they're going right now. So to change the coach at this point would be, I think, a detriment to the Bulls right now. With the plan, it looks like, again, I don't know exactly what the plan is, but the plan it looks like they're taking, Billy's a big part of it. And you don't want to change that now and really start to go, have to go in a different direction.
What do you make of that Knicks situation? To fire Tom Thibodeau after winning 50-plus games, going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then seemingly not have a real plan or replacement in place, and now they're on their fifth option based on what we know in
Are
their
they?
Head coaching search.
Are they?
I mean, that's what I've deduced. It sounds like you maybe have a different deduction.
I don't know. I like to think, the cynical mind that I have, is that they have a plan and that now they're just reaching out, covering all the bases, and that they had a plan all along. And I don't know what that plan is. And I understand a point of view that they may have had. You look at, I saw, it was a social media post a week or so ago, right shortly after it happened, that Tom Thibodeau's record here in Chicago was better than it was in New York in the 5 years that he was here. And he took the Bulls to the Eastern Conference Finals and then didn't do so well after that. So if you're just looking at that and you're the New York Knicks and you say, well, look what he did with Chicago. He's done. He's the same place. That's not good enough. We got to go in a different direction. If that's what you're thinking, then I understand that. Now, me, as a person at the general manager that I'm not, I would have said, okay, we're growing. We've gotten better every year. He's done great. We get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's see what happens next year. And again, that's me. That's what I would have done. But I can't argue with them saying, that's not good enough. We're going in a different direction. So it's, yeah. You know, it's tough. But having said that, when you fire him, I have to believe that they have someone in mind.
Yeah, I guess you better.
Once you have someone in mind, you still have to go and cover all the bases, make sure maybe something's better.
Yeah.
Maybe Billy Donovan is better than something they had in mind.
Right. So, at least give the – yeah, sometimes it's just giving the illusion to whomever needs to hear it or
no,
see it.
No, wait. People don't do that. Stop it. Got to be kidding me. Mean people are just doing things for show?
Hey, maybe the Chicago Bears. Remember how many candidates they have? Rami, you still counting the candidates
yes.
that the Bears had?
83. Like, I believe the number was 83 candidates.
Was it going to be Ben Johnson all along? So sometimes some people need to have that reassurance or that appearance. You're right, that no stone is unturned.
Correct.
That we have gone to the ends of the earth to bring in Stan Van Gundy.
There you go.
How about a Van Gundy? Is it time for another Van Gundy?
Maybe they'll both come back.
Oh, how about that? Have the Van Gundys ever done that where one was – no, they're both too big in the world now. They couldn't have both been on the same staff.
Was Stan an assistant on Jeff's staff?
On the Knicks staff?
I think so. I think he might have been.
Okay. I mean, maybe.
I think he might have been.
That's possible.
I have a vague memory of that.
We'll figure that out. But Tibbs, though, does Tibbs outwear his welcome because of just the nature of Tibbs?
Well, here's my issue, and I like Tom. I mean, Tom is a great person.
Yeah.
And
he's all basketball, though.
And he's a very good coach,
Absolutely.
Good
coach. Absolutely.
The knock on Tom, obviously, and everyone talks about it, is he plays seven guys too much.
Uh-huh.
And then it wears out, and it just doesn't – but – they didn't give him a chance to find out how he adjusts this coming year. He got to where he was, and yes, you lost to Indiana, which no one thought you were going to lose to Indiana. But wait a minute, what's Indiana doing to OKC right now?
Right,
like they're a good team, and they've connected, and they're playing really well right now. They're playing physical, they play great defense, and their offense is moving. They have various guys, just like OKC, that they can rely on. It's not one or two guys carrying the load. They got five guys that can score 15 to 20 points every night, and they got one guy that's kind of special on Haliburton. So it's they're a good team. So it, I think they jumped the gun a little bit in New York, but, you know, that's my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this – you brought up the finals. Do you think this NBA finals is changing the way teams look at roster construction? Because this isn't the big two or the big three and these star-studded laden rosters. These are sort of good pieces that were all put together with a vision in mind of the style of basketball they play.
I think that's been happening for a little bit. And I think that was going on. If you look at this year, all the good teams were good rosters. I mean – I hate to throw the Lakers under the bus, but it's much fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't hate doing that at all. I mean,
you know, they tried, and they even had a midseason trade that was like unbelievable, that no one can believe happened, yeah. And what did it do for them?
Zippo.
And the teams that are winning and playing really well right now are the teams that are well-rounded, have a bunch of guys on the team that know what they're doing and play well, and they all fit together well. And I think that's good basketball. So I know... Some people will argue, well, you know, it's two small markets. Who cares? If you like basketball, these games are terrific. They are fun to watch.
Yep.
And before the series started, everyone said that Indiana would be lucky to win a game. You know, if they win one, that'll be it. But this series is terrific. Oh, yeah. They're good games.
2-1 now.
Yeah, going back and forth. And it's just fun basketball. So if you're a basketball guy or girl... It's fun to watch. It's just good games.
When did you start hating the Lakers and why? Has that always been part of your
DNA?
It
started in 88 when they beat us in the Western Conference Finals and I was with the Mavericks. So that was the big part.
Okay.
But then after that, it's just, you know, it's the Lakers.
The Lakers,
you know?
Right. The Lakers. I got you. I wasn't sure if that's what it was.
Like, it's just like in the 90s, I met a lot of people that hated the Bulls because they won too much.
Yeah. How do you feel about, like, LeBron right now? Do you think he's just kind of coasting to the end, or what do you think of him? I mean, is he going to get another championship? Or
I don't think he's going to get another championship. I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
I think he's done, and what he's doing at his age is amazing, and deserves to be talked about because he's playing well. But Michael Jordan's still the GOAT. I would still put Kobe Bryant before him as my
before
second.
Before LeBron?
And then we'd have a good discussion on third, whether it's Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or LeBron.
Oh, you know, oh, wow. Actually, come to think of it, now that I remember it, your partner on the Bulls broadcasts, Chuck Swirsky, I don't think he's even got him in his top five. Maybe he does not like LeBron. Am I right about that, about Chuck? I know, I'm asking you to speak for Chuck.
I'm not.
I'm doing it.
Chuck has never been decisive with me on that subject, so I'm not 100% sure.
I thought he said something.
But I could agree with that.
Yeah.
That I would not argue.
He's not even close to Kareem or something like that. Get out of here.
Again, and for all you haters out there, I'm not saying LeBron James is
not good. I see you over there, Rich Wyatt. Greatest producer ever.
That's pretty good. Rich Wyatt. He is.
Engineer, sorry.
And he does everything, actually, Rich, for us.
Yes.
And you got to see. I mean, the United Center is a big building, and there's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice when you get to an event like this where everything's pretty much compact, and if he has to run to fix something, he's running 10 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Where at the United Center, if he's got to run, like if Alyssa has a problem, he's got to run like 100 yards upstairs, and figure out where all the wires are going and what's not plugged in. And then, gosh forbid, someone at the United Center unplugs something that's like over by the trucks, like,
God
which
forbid.
Is like, I don't even know where that is. People disappear for hours and they'll come back and we're sitting there waiting for things to happen.
Shaking his head, that thing was unplugged. I can't believe it. It was unplugged. Oh, man. And when you're not tending to, is so what you're saying too, in the midst of that, I caught you, Alyssa Bergamini, who does the pre and post game, a little high maintenance. Like she always needs something, apparently. Is that what you're saying? Oh, no, that's not what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But
Alyssa
is absolutely fantastic and so much fun to work with. We have a good time.
I mean, love listening. You and Bergs are hilarious at the ends of games oftentimes when you guys do your little post-game wrap-up or when you and Chuck start telling jokes.
Yeah, some game, and unfortunately for the Bulls, sometimes that's what we have to do. But you know,
I understand that.
You know, there have been times where things are, have not been going as we would have hoped.
Understood.
You, I mean, I get it. This is entertainment.
Yes.
We're talking sports. I'm doing my job.
Right.
And I love my job.
Bulls got to be better.
And I love the Bulls, but sometimes you got to talk about other things.
Yes, you do. No, I get it. Hey, Pat Hughes, Hall of Famer, on this radio station, when things get a little bit, there's a little bit of distance in the game, winning or losing. Hey, Zach, do you have a trivia question? Do you have something that you can entertain the people with? This game is getting exhausting. We could just get a question or two. I understand that. We're not going to have to do a lot of that next year, though. The Bulls going to be – are they going to be back in the playoffs next year? What's going
playoffs,
on, man?
Not playing.
Did you guys hear about the one where the tall guy walked into the bar? He was belly up at the bar and he had no hair. you know what?
I want wins.
We all want wins. And I'm sure AK and Mark Eversley want wins. And, again – you look where we're starting and what's going to happen, and we get the 12th draft pick this year.
Yes,
in the draft, and
it's coming soon, you know, next week.
One would think that there's going to be some kind of deal made somewhere for something, whether it's to move up in the draft or just to get another player. But it's, and again, everyone's afraid to use this rebuilding, but we're in a growth stage,
to
speak.
Growth. Okay.
I'm going to throw that word.
I like that growth stage. We're all growing all the time. I feel like
yes, and that's where we are right now, and. We could speculate everything. I mean, right now, rumors are flying around. 4-team deals. This isn't going to happen. Giannis wants out. The Bulls are trying to do this.
Oh, Giannis,
You know, and Durant already has a team picked, and we're going to go here. there's so much going on right now, and some of it's true, and some of it's just a lot of agent fodder that happens. And you know, we'll see what happens. But obviously, I don't think you could honestly say anyone would say they're happy with what happened last year with the final record, winning 39 games and obviously losing in the play-in. So the growth is going to happen.
You mentioned earlier not many people giving the Pacers a chance heading into the finals. Am I not giving them enough credit to say that the gap between where the Bulls are and that best team in the Eastern Conference, being the Indiana Pacers right now, not as wide as it's been in the past with more star-studded teams?
There's a couple of people this year have asked me, like, you know, the Bulls aren't that far away. And they're not that far away. You need a couple of players. You're going to have to fill some spots. You look at with what the trades they've made the last couple of years in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And I love Vooch. He's my favorite Bull because he's a center.
Mm-hmm.
And,
of course.
You know, and
he can shoot from the outside. Like
he can shoot from the outside,
Wennington.
Like me, and I like his game, but you have to wonder, is he going to be around long? Like, does he fit into exactly what we're trying to do? And I'll put it one thing, I like his game. I think he does, but he's older, and we have now become a team that's pretty young, so you have to look at our window of opportunity, and if we're looking to grow and get better, is Vooch fit into that? And you know, maybe he does. Maybe he's the guy that helps younger guys get better. But if I'm being realistic, I think, well, you know, he's on the outside of the box. By the time we're really ready to start winning, Vooch is going to be 37 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, are we there? So you have to worry about that. I mean, you look at our three-point shooting. It hasn't been the greatest. It's been inconsistent. It's at times, it's been terrific. There were three or four games in a row this season where the Bulls' three-point shooting was terrific, but coming down the stretch, it kind of faltered a little bit. So it hasn't been that consistent that you need. We got to see what Patrick Williams can do. He hasn't lived up to the bill yet.
And it feels like that's winding down.
And it's,
I feel like. Yeah.
But it's if you're, again, it's starting to get to the point, at least for me, and I like Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams is an NBA player. But if you're thinking he's going to be that fourth pick in the NBA and be that guy that's going to get 20 to 30 points every night, that might not be what he's going to be. So you have to look at all the positions right now, what's going on. Josh Giddey, I think Josh did a great job. I love what Josh did as a point guard. He's a free agent this year. What's going to happen with that? We got to figure that out. Kobe White and Io are both going to be free agents at the end of next season. You got to figure out where we're going with that. So this is where all the growth comes in the plan. Again, I'm not privy to the front office and what they're thinking. and what direction we want to go. And I'm not obviously not privy to the phone calls they're getting about different deals and things that can happen. But, you know, as a fan watching all the games, I can see things, and I can speculate a little bit, but I'm, you know, my opinion means no more than anyone else's. So it's just what we see.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like that Modest Buzelis, Coby White, and that guy Josh Giddey, those three guys will be, unless there's something I'm missing or a trade that I'm missing, that those are the three guys that in theory they're gonna build around. So they're going to get a deal done with Giddey, right? At this point.
I would believe that. Yeah. I think that they have something and they've started something, and then especially with the way that Mattis has progressed. And, yeah. And again, Mattis is another guy I love. As a young guy, he just came in and just, he's a sponge. He's just sucking up everything.
What's the ceiling for a player like that? I don't even know if there's a comp for him, a guy that he reminds you of, like where we're going. Because like Kendall Gill thinks that this guy has like superstar ability.
The sky's the limit right now. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar, but he's going to be a really good player. The way he plays tough. He's hard. He plays hard. He can play very physical. He has the ability to put the ball on the floor. He's shooting the ball better. He's confident on the floor. He's not afraid of anyone. He'll guard anyone.
He really is fearless.
And steps up to the challenge.
It's pretty rare for rookies these days, that fearless factor. I love that.
And you know, he's fun to watch. I mean, I love the fact he'll get down the floor and he loves to dunk on people, which is, you know, something I like to do when I was younger. Now I like to look at the rim and think, I used to be able to touch that.
Hey, look at that. It's an old friend.
I used to be able to touch that with my head.
I'm not allowed to contact you anymore.
From the top of my fingers is 9 feet 2 inches, and I haven't touched a rim in years.
Me neither, Bill. Me neither. It's been a minute.
Prime Bill Wennington. Like what is it, St. John's days in terms of your athletic ability? Okay, I mean obviously you were great with the Bulls. Could you do some pretty slick dunking at St. John's?
At St. John's, yeah. Even when I was at the Bulls, I could dunk.
I know. I've seen you dunk.
I could literally hit my head on the rim.
Ooh. Wow.
So that's 36
inches. You
got to
be careful, man.
Yeah. In high school, I hurt myself. When I was in high school, one time, and I hurt myself. But those are pipe dreams now. They're not even – I'm at a basketball camp now. I have a basketball camp in Lake Forest.
You're just like one of us
man. And the kids are all going, hey, can you dunk? I'm like, no. they're like, why not?
What good are you?
I said, because I'm 62 years old and 40 pounds heavier than I was when I was playing. No.
Have you seen Marcus Johnson, formerly of the Bucks? He dunks every year on his birthday and puts it up on social media. I think he's 61 or 62 years old, still throwing it down.
It's not worth it.
I was fortunate.
He's throwing these down.
I drank Yinglings on my birthday.
Today's your birthday?
No.
Oh. So you don't just drink Yinglings on your birthday?
No, I drink them often.
He said on his birthday. He didn't say
on my birthday.
On
I do birthday. Drink them.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Technicality. My bad.
I played for the Dallas Mavericks in the 80s. I was drafted by Dallas in 85, and we had an assistant coach, Clifford Ray.
Don't remember the name.
Played with the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
And
Clifford Ray.
Did he play in Chicago?
Really?
He played in Chicago.
In what year, decade? Are you talking about like in the 80s? Really?
No, in the 70s.
70s, okay. That's earlier. Why I don't remember it.
Cliff was...
I like to think I know my vintage Bulls pretty well, but that doesn't...
Great human being, great guy. He was in phenomenal the 70s. Player.
So is he a real person or is Bill making this up right now? Okay.
1971 to 1974.
Okay, so that was very...
Cliff was our assistant coach.
Okay.
And back in those days, in the All-Star game, they had the Veterans game. They were playing. So
the
veterans would play.
Oh, yeah, the old-timer
the alumni
game.
The old-timers
game.
And for 2 years, I watched Clifford warm up and get ready to play in that game. And as a young guy, I'm young back then. I'm in my early 20s.
You know,
24, 25 years old. I was drafted when I was 23. I'm thinking to myself, I am never doing that. It just looks like, and he was trying to dunk, and he was working hard, and I'm looking at Cliff, and I love Clifford.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, what are you doing, dude? You're going to get hurt. I'm not doing that.
Who are you trying to impress, Cliff?
But it was good. But you know what? In some ways, I missed that because it was actually fun to watch, but then – obviously, guys started to get hurt, so they canceled it. They erased that game.
It's like, okay, this was not the intention. We were just looking to have a little fun out here, maybe have a couple of beers. But guys
would take it serious and get warmed up, and they want to play. And I remember Johnny Redpur, the great broadcaster in Chicago. He'd talk about that, and we'd go over some film sometime. We'd see Johnny making the passes.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, is it like that Court of Dreams game? We played. Rich Wyatt and I both played in that game, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's right.
You guys pretty serious out there. You and Chuck battling wits, going back and forth that day.
You two guys, though, it was kind of unfair that you guys just went at each other and just you guys just scored 40 points each, and everyone else was just kind of standing ball hogs.
People underestimated me.
It's like Magic versus Mrs. Bird, you know, when they get out there, it's
kind of what it was.
Exactly,
actually.
It's a two-man show.
Phil, we're going to let you continue to wander about and have fun out here at the bar. But do you know Chuck, your partner, Chuck Swirsky, is? Do you know he's emceeing this big Pope event? Do you know about? You've been hearing about this?
I've heard about that. Yeah, it is a great honor.
Yes,
and I'm so happy for Chuck because he is a very faithful person, and it's a really neat thing. And if again, we're talking about the Pope, he's the first Pope from the United States, and if you're Catholic in this country, that's kind of a big deal.
It's a pretty huge deal.
Kind of a big deal, and. Yeah. And he just happens to be a Sox fan.
Yeah. How about that? Well,
there you go.
We got to figure out if he's also a Bulls fan. You know, I mean, he's got to be a Bulls and Bears
only,
fan.
People
too,
have
right?
only mentioned the Sox.
Like, I know. It's weird. Like, and of course, he's not. Like, we don't need him to be a Cubs fan. Nobody needs that.
It's fine.
But
yeah.
He's got to be a Bears fan, Bulls fan, a Blackhawks fan too. Let it fly, man. Let's hear it all. Chuck's got to get that out of him, man.
Yep. That sounds like it's going to be a neat event. So.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Get a backstage pass.
Are you going to be his assistant MC out there?
Unfortunately, I will not be here. I'll be back east with visiting the family and stuff.
Okay. Bill, you're the best. Bill Wennington, ladies and gentlemen.
This guy.
That's what a 90s bull looks like right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Old.
Oh, man. We are having a good time. We are live out here at the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar, 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst. We are overdue for a break. I am Mark Rohde. He is Rami Makhlouf. When we come back, Pat Hughes has a musical question for us. It's coming up next on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.